It's 6:30.
I should get you a.
If you want to, sure.
There's some chairs over there behind.
So at 6:30, we're going to be starting the meeting. There's been people that have been waiting for over an hour from previous meetings, so we're going to get going right away. That's okay with everyone? So I'd like to please stand for the pledge to the flag, if you don't mind.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, so since this is the first committee meeting of this committee under the new legislature starting in 2020, and we have some new members, one of them sitting right here, I thought it'd be a good idea for some of the folks who are representing the county and also the legislators to take a couple minutes and introduce yourself and let everyone in the room know who you are and what your role is here, if you don't mind. So I'll start with myself. I'm Brian Cahill. I was elected to the legislature again last year, and I'll be chairing this committee for the, I guess, next year anyway, for the year. All right. So
great. I'm Jim DeLon. I represent District 17, which is New Paltz and Southern Esopus, and this is my third term.
Lynn Archer, District 21, Rochester, third term as well on this committee.
Mary Beth Mayo, Legislative District 10, half of Highland, half of Milton, and this is the start of my sixth term.
So we're just going to keep it to the people who are involved with the committee.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So Mark, if you want to go ahead.
Sure. Mark Ryder, Deputy County Executive. I oversee planning and information services departments.
Thank you. So Dennis and Evelyn.
I'm Evelyn Wright, Deputy County Executive, working with Economic Development.
And I'm Dennis Doyle. I'm the Planning Director of Ulster County and also the Director of a federal creation, something called the Ulster County Transportation Council.
All right. And then?
I'm Fawn Tantillo. I'm the staff for the committee.
Okay. Thank you. So what I'll do is I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes from last month's meeting.
December's
meeting, sorry. Any objections? Okay. Thank you. So now we have new business. So we have one, two, three, four, five, six, seven resolutions on the agenda. And we'll start with number 8. And this is a resolution put forth by, I believe, Legislator Pettit and Parity, right?
First one is just
Pettit. Is it Pettit or Petit? Petit. Okay. Okay. I just love Andy Pettit, so you're gonna get a lot of Pettit from me. So this is a resolution number 8, which is setting a public hearing on a proposed local law number 1 of 2020, a local law requiring that property owners of multifamily dwellings located in Ulster County with 6 or more units have an office in Ulster County. And Laura is requesting that it be held on March 10th, 2020 at 6 p.m. So I will make a motion that we open the floor for discussion on this resolution.
I'll second that.
Okay. So I'm going to start off just by making a statement that with the housing issues in the county, I've spoken with the executive and a couple other people in the legislature, and one of the things that we think is very important that we do is that we take stock of our housing and do some sort of housing assessment. There's been activity in other communities in the county right now. The mayor announced something today that he's doing, and I just think it would be a good idea for us to have, you know what our problem is, right? We should know what our housing stock is. We should know where the both economical disadvantages are and, you know, the needs for people that are either, you know, because not everybody needs low-income housing. We may have a deficiency of working-class housing as well, and we may have a deficiency in high-class housing, which I doubt that one. But but the point is that if we don't know what our housing stock is, we really would be kind of flying in the dark a little bit if we go ahead and form committees. I think it's really important that, because I agree 100% that we need to address housing in Ulster County, but I think it's also important that we start off on the right foot and make sure that we have all the information available to us before we make decisions on what we're going to do, because this is not something that's just going to be in effect for a couple of days. This is a long-term, you know, solution in my mind for a problem that's been brewing for decades, really. So I think it's vitally important that we use all the resources available to us, you know, some of the not-for-profits in the area, some of the for-profits in the area. There's housing studies being done all over the place by different groups, different agencies in the state and federal government, and I just think it would be to our best interest to take a breath, take a step back, and see if we can corral some of that information and get it in some sort of format where we go forward with that. So, I'm just going to say this. So I'm going to make a motion that we table resolutions number 8 and number 9 until we have the housing study under our belt, and so we can move forward. If we can do that,
I mean, it's a sponsor. And
so I'm going to just ask that we have the committee speak first. If there's members of the committee that would like to speak on this, you know, please speak up right now so we can move forward with this. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm supportive of having information and being informed about what is happening across the county before we put groups together to try and figure out how to fix something. We need to understand what the issues are, what we can do, what opportunities there are to remedy some of the concerns, and then engage a group to be a part of the solution. But until we have more information and we have a study done that gives us a clear picture of what's happening in Ulster County, right now we're dealing with anecdotal information. I don't think that's the best way to approach an issue that is pretty serious and has, I would say, to some degree, we've neglected for years, and it's time we really took stock and really did put some teeth into it.
I agree. So anyone else on the committee have a comment? Or okay, so Laura, go ahead.
All right, this resolution, of course, there is one to establish a committee, but this particular resolution is more in response to some organizations that have come up and bought larger apartment complexes and then have closed their local offices and are not necessarily the best of absentee landlords. So this resolution in itself is protecting people who are in larger multifamily dwellings. Mm-hmm. You know, so if there are gas leaks, if there's electrical issues, mm-hmm. it's a matter of public safety. Mm-hmm. We've discussed this several times prior, in the year prior. There was a similar resolution that came through. There wasn't any public opposition to it. The red flag sections have been mitigated. So it does include the prohibited section, and it does include a preemption, so that this law will not supersede any local laws. But I think it's very important that we at least move this forward while we are looking at doing an overall master plan and housing study, just to get the ball rolling and to protect the public as it is. Eventually we'll take a look, because it's not all about affordable housing.
Right.
And these apartment complexes are not affordable housing.
Okay.
Quite to the contrary, they're more like $1,400 or $1,500 a month, which anyone who makes $12 an hour couldn't afford anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I would not like to see this tabled.
Okay. Let me just take, so I'll withdraw the motion to table resolution number 8 so we can look at them separately then, and mm-hmm. if anybody, you know, wants to discuss that separately with what Laura just stated, that I'm fine with that. Yeah, go ahead, Lynn.
The last time we spoke about it, Laura, there were, I think there was some, sorry, you weren't listening, so I wasn't sure. The last time that we brought it up, I thought there was some laws that were in place in both New Paltz and Kingston,
mm-hmm.
that we were going to incorporate and at least redline. And so I didn't realize there were changes made from the mm-hmm. document we looked at in December.
It includes a definition of a home office, not just a brick and mortar office. It includes a 24-hour emergency contact number. It includes a prohibited, which is basically what
okay.
We
since
aren't
since
to.
It wasn't redlined, it was hard to determine which one. I didn't
I
go
mean,
back.
I redlined it when I submitted it. So.
Oh, okay. So
yeah.
Maybe it just didn't get printed that way. And the definition of residential rental, a building in which at least 20 dwelling units that are leased. It was defined as 20. Then we had 6. So I was
mm-hmm.
a little confused as to what the definition is. It 20. Or is it 6-plus units? What happens if it's under 20? Does it count or
mm-hmm.
doesn't it? So it was a little unclear
when I met with representatives from the New Paul Center Kingston Tenancy, and they had asked, they actually wanted something even more restrictive, but I did not have the time to put the definitions in. They had asked that it be lowered to 6.
So it went from 20 units to 6
right,
units.
Right, so that
so
other resolution is not on the table. This is a separate resolution. It's
but it's still in the document, so that's why I'm a little confused.
I don't know. I know what I submitted. I submitted a totally separate document.
But your document. So if you look at the definition of residential property,
mm-hmm.
the definition, and then you go to prohibitive, it talks about it has two different numbers, so it's very confusing as to what is the law that's being recommended.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I'm not able to pull any of this up on my computer right now. So it should consistently say 6.
It says 20.
It says
20.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
So it should say 6.
No, it says 6.
So now
but
it's
but
gone
under residential property says 20.
I'm sorry, can I do a follow?
Sure,
okay. So it went from 20 to 6 units now.
For the request of several tenancy associations.
Okay, and what's the scope of this? I mean, I don't even know how many units this would apply to across Ulster County, and how many complaints. I don't even know the scope of the issue. I guess that's what I'm trying to understand.
So, I mean, would you be more comfortable if it was back up to 20? I mean, would that get it through
I'm just trying to
now?
Understand the scope of what precipitated this having to be done. You mentioned people buying properties, but
yes.
How many complaints have we had? I haven't heard it, so I don't know if it's in my community. We don't have buildings of this size, so
mm-hmm.
I haven't heard it. I haven't heard it from folks in Kingston, so I'm just trying to understand where the issue is.
So
and what
I can speak to it. I live across the street from Sunset Gardens,
uh-huh.
and that's one of the worst violators. It's a company that has purchased Sunset Gardens, Stony Run Apartments, the ones down along the creek,
so you've heard consistent complaints.
Oh, it's never ending, and so. But my point is though that you know, in the town of Ulster where I live, the town Ulster building inspector is the one that enforces.
And code.
It's the town code is what's enforceable there,
right?
And so they're their first line of defense for that. So you know. One of the concerns I have with this is, are we adding another layer and an expense to the county that we may not need to have, you know, at this point, right? I mean, if the towns are have a building and a code enforcement officer, that's who should be dealing with a building inside of a town, not in the county, right? We don't have a department. We have the health department is about the only thing, right, that would be involved with that, right?
That would be enforcement.
Yeah, right. And it would only be for health-related issues.
Correct.
Yeah.
Water sanitation.
Right, water sanitation. Mm.
I do know one of the reasons why they're putting in the office is because Sunset Gardens had had a couple of issues with sewage where they didn't know who to call and it was late at night and the people who were supposed to be on-site maintenance weren't showing up, and then the building inspector had to get involved, but they were kind of like an emergency type.
Right. Yeah.
They don't have an emergency number?
They don't answer it sometimes. They're out of Long Island.
Okay.
Yeah. So go ahead, Tracy.
Yeah, so, I mean, I had some of the concerns about the inconsistencies with the changes, the 6 to the 20, was one of my questions, and the prohibition speaks to the multifamily dwelling rather than the definition of the residential rental property, but the downsizing to 6 makes me even more concerned, and I've said before that I feel like this, as drafted, is not necessary. I have some of the same duplication concerns, but I also feel like it's not necessarily dealing with the issue in a 21st century way. The requirement of the brick and mortar, and I appreciate the attempt to move to a home office, but a home office is dictated
by local zoning laws. So not every town allows for home offices. They have some strict requirements. So downsizing it to 6 and requiring, again, essentially a brick and mortar rather than a responsible person who could be fined is my biggest concern. I also would like to have a sense of the scope of the problem. I've heard of the worst actors, consistently the ones in Ulster, and I think at the last meeting another municipalities.
Esopus has, the Lakeshore has big problems.
Yeah.
So yeah. Kingston does, Dutch Village,
yeah.
I mean, they've increased the rent by 50%.
But
so yeah.
this doesn't address
altogether.
But this has,
I mean, would
no,
you be more comfortable
address,
putting
no,
it back to 20?
But I'd still have the issue of the brick and mortar.
But
this,
it's in
but,
there. It
but,
says a home office or a responsible person over 21.
No, but it says the responsible person has to be on site. So they have to be actually, what are they, like standing outside? I mean, they have to be in an office or in an apartment on site. It's the same requirement. And in terms of Dutch Village, I don't know. I'm not speaking to Dutch Village. I think we get in a dicey way when we're talking about particulars. But this doesn't address rent at all. It doesn't address whether or not a landlord raises rent. This has to do with an office to hear complaints, which when I read the information that you sent me about both Kingston and New Paltz, what I appreciated was the requirement that there be on file someone responsible who presumably, if they're not answering the charge, would be liable,
mm-hmm.
legally liable.
Mm-hmm.
And that changes, I think, I don't know what's happening with these issues of unreachable landlords, how they can't get fined. But to me, that's what we have to address, is making sure that there's someone that's accountable that could be served a,
yeah, and
a
again,
fine.
I believe
action.
That's still the local,
still local.
You, municipality. So
building.
So I recognize one second. Okay. So, are we aware that there are municipalities that aren't taking care of this the way they should? That the building inspector is not reacting to the town residents, and they're not enforcing the laws that are on the books? I mean, because I know the town of Ulster, they're very diligent. As a matter of fact, that landlord has been fined and found guilty and fined and paid a fine, the owner of Sunset Gardens. That just happened 2 weeks ago. So I know the town of Ulster is enforcing it. You know, they can't make the guy do anything, but they can force him to come to court and pay fines and, you know, do what they can do with what the law allows, you know, and landlords have rights too, you know, to a degree, right? So, I just, at this point, so I'll recognize you, and then we'll, would you mind stating your name, please?
Sure, Amanda Sissenstein.
Okay.
So, for one, just kind of in reference to both having a committee on transit and housing issues, but also the specific legislation, it is definitely, I feel it's very misguided to start a process, even if it's just a research process, to gauge housing overall in this county without community and citizen involvement.
Mm-hmm.
Because for one thing, statistics don't tell the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
So having, you know, the county itself be doing research, finding out statistics, consulting other
mm-hmm.
municipalities, etc., that should be done in conjunction with there being a citizen committee. Because again, statistics don't always tell the whole story. And just like you said, you don't have large complexes, but you were like, oh well, we do. So
yes,
it's like
right.
things are very different all
right.
over the place. The other thing, well, with a home office, like, it doesn't necessarily have to be like an office with like a desk and a lamp, and you know, it can be a tenant who is just either they have like, you know, they in New Paltz, for example, the property manager where I lived a few years ago, he just had like money deducted from his rent, so he paid like $200 less a month in rent, and he was the person on site responsible if there was an emergency, if anything happened. Because yes, building departments are responsible for finding landlords and upholding code regarding health and safety. However, when your roof is leaking, like complaining to your building department, who's going to then find your landlord, isn't going to fix the leak in your house, and it's not going to change the fact that leak, if not fixed, is then going to lead to a black mold issue, and et cetera, et cetera. So, like, what we're looking for is someone who's going to be an on-site or within there's a 15-mile radius stipulation, so it has to just be within 15 miles
or within the border.
Yeah.
Well,
so that could
well
be
the responsible
more.
Person says a local responsible person over 21 years old residing or doing business in Ulster County who shall be responsible for the care and management of such property and is authorized by said owner to accept legal process on behalf of the owner when the owner resides or has its principal place of business outside of Ulster County.
So it's pretty flexible. Like, there's not going to be many landlords
I don't know
who
about
are
that.
Not, who are not, no, it is, though. And this has been proven by Kingston and New Paltz. Like, this has been a fact in New Paltz for a very long time.
Yeah.
It works very well.
That's
the thing is, landlords who live in New Jersey, New York City, Long Island, wherever, like, if they don't have someone here locally that's going to be, like, on them or there and to immediately cater to the tenants, those are the buildings that are not maintained, just like Sunset Gardens, and I forget the name of that, and all those other ones. It doesn't matter how many times you find them. I mean, they might as well be a multinational corporation dumping, you know, toxic fumes into their toxic stuff into the ocean. They get a fine, which is like a penny to the billions and billions that they make. It's not enough to stop them from doing it. It's not enough to actually make them maintain their properties. As you've seen, there are repeat offenders, and yes, they get fined, and yes, they have the building department write them up, and you know, and also a lot of building departments are understaffed, and they have a lot of work to do, and especially if they have bad, you know, repeat offenders in their communities, and they're constantly doing these complaints, they can't always effectively do the job as much as they want. Like, that's not enough in and of itself.
Okay.
I mean, again,
so I'm gonna ask that you wrap it up,
because
we want to get moving
along. I also want to say, as far as the research and not taking action until after some extensive research projects that have been done on housing, the thing is, housing changes rapidly. And the real estate folks who are here, I'm sure, can attest to that. Like, things change from resident to a commercial to rentals back to homeowners, like, fairly rapidly. And as we also see fluctuations in the housing market. So by the time you finish this extensive study, we could almost see an entirely different situation than it did when you started the study. So that's something that needs to be kept in mind. I think I'm almost finished.
I'm going to ask you up to this. There's other people want to speak, and there's a lot of people.
I don't want to see delaying tactics, which I know, whether they're intentional or not, which is a lot of what I'm hearing. I've heard these things before on other issues that I've worked on, and that's exactly what they are. They're delaying tactics, and they're kind of excuses for not taking immediate action, and they don't really hold water.
I'm going to ask that. This is the third time, so this will be your last comment, please.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think I'm pretty much done.
Okay.
But yeah,
go ahead, Mark.
Can literally just be a tenant who has a discount on their rent.
Okay.
It doesn't have to have like a specific office. It's not going to violate, you know, zoning laws.
Got it.
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you. Mark?
So while I think that the definitions attempted to maybe broaden out what a responsible person is, if you go to the prohibitions, it says that it has to be an on-site person. So there's a conflict there, and I understand what you're saying about delaying tactics, but I think
you
want to
clean it up.
Something
you know.
Needs to be clean, because otherwise it has to come back here in 2 to 3 months anyway.
Right. Yeah.
We did one last thing. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're not recognized. I'm just going
to
recognize
them. Send their concerns to Laura regarding
okay. I'm going
to
ask you to please
nobody
refrain from interrupting when other people are talking and just be recognized before you speak. I'm not trying to stifle you. I'm just, other people want to speak and you'll have another opportunity. Go ahead, Tracy.
So I have spoken publicly about my concerns. This definition of responsible person, which seems to be taken from the Kingston and the New Paltz code, would answer my concerns, except for the conflict in the prohibition, which requires that responsible person be on site. The definition of a home office, again, in each municipality there's going to be a definition, and a home office is an office. If you have a legal office in your home per your local community, you have an office. It just happens to be in your home. So I like the responsible. But the definition of the responsible person as it's used in Kingston and New Paltz without the conflict. I'm gonna hold off on the concept of delay tactics, but respectfully, right now there's a lot of conflicts within this law that I think would require it to come back, anyway.
Right.
And where we might end up having disagreements, this is even bigger than that.
Right.
I mean, I definitely feel, just as on merit, I feel like 6 is a very substantial change from 20.
It is.
I would like to know how much that broadens the applicability, because I have no idea. I have no idea how many 6-unit apartments there or residential rentals there may be in this county. I don't know.
So let me make this motion, Laura. Okay. How about if you take this and you clean up the things that we're talking about, like the discrepancies in the number of units and maybe look at the on-site part of this and, you know, get some definitions or some, maybe some answers to how many, how by changing it from 20 to 6, how much broader does this become now? Because, you know, sometimes people like me own a 6-unit apartment and couldn't mm-hmm. afford to have somebody on site. I'm just, you know, just something to consider. Just something to consider. Not every landlord is a millionaire, right? And we have to consider that as well when we're making laws in the county, right? So I'm just going to request that we'll table this for 1 month and ask you to please take a look at it, get it so everybody can agree on the you know, the number of units and you know, maybe make some calls to see if we can get some support for this, because I'm not against this. I'm not. But I am against the flawed law. I am. And this right now, as it's presented, is flawed. It has issues.
I would just like to say this has been out and here. And when we get to a meeting, there's objections and concerns and changes. And I have worked hard to try to answer them all.
Right.
So
it's not a matter of it's
read ahead of
time. So that's fine.
Maybe
so present the resolution. Present the resolution. We can't have a resolution in front of us that has conflicting data in it. We can't have where in one paragraph where it says 6 and another says it's 20. We can't have that. Well, you know, so I'm going to make a suggestion that you, I'm going to make a motion that we table this till next month, give Legislator Petit an opportunity to get everything in order and in line, and then we will look at this again next month. I will put it the first thing on the agenda next month as old business, and hopefully we have the issues that people have raised here addressed, and we can move forward with it, because I am not against this. I don't think anyone on the committee is against holding landlords responsible for their properties and taking care of their tenants. I think we all agree they should. But if we present a flawed law, we'll be in court. These people will sue us, right? So we have to make sure that it's right, okay? And so I'm going to make that a motion. I'm going to ask for a motion to table this till next month.
You can postpone or no action.
I can
postpone or take no action.
Let's take a no action then this month, and we'll look at it next month. So I make a motion we do that. Is that okay? I don't know. I'm new.
So you can make a motion to postpone, or you can just take no action. You can just withdraw the first and second. But you don't have to make a motion to take no action.
Okay.
It's just no action.
So just there's no
but
action.
But then it's still on the agenda.
Right. So the point is, I don't want it to go away. Okay. I don't. I do want to see this again on this committee, so we can address the issue. It's a real issue, right? Mm-hmm. It's an issue that the county should have a voice in, right? However, we want to make sure that we know the towns are okay with what we're doing, and we're not just adding another layer of somebody who has to go and tell them to do something they're not going to do at the taxpayer's expense. If the towns are doing this, then the town should be doing it. Do we need a county person to ride with the town person to say, your roof's leaking? I don't know. Do we? We have to think about it, right? So we have we'll get this cleaned up with the numbers and the data, and then we'll, you know, bring it forward again, and we'll have a public hearing and see where it goes. Okay? All right. Thank you. We're going to move on to number 9, which is establishing a special committee to define the Ulster County housing needs. So we kind of had a discussion from the audience on this already, and we've had a brief discussion on it. I'm going to make a motion to open this for further discussion at this point.
Second.
Okay. Was there a second anywhere?
I'll second it.
Okay, thank
Sorry.
You.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I was reading.
Okay, so here's the thing. So look, this isn't a stalling tactic, okay? Well, it's not a stalling tactic, and I kind of a little bit resent that, because, you know, what we want to do is the right thing, right? We want to do
But we said this in December.
Okay, so I'm brand new. This is my first committee meeting, so you're going to have to give me a little bit of leeway and give me an opportunity to prove that, you know, that I can do something and maybe work with you instead of against you. I'm not doing that, okay? My goal is to make sure that the housing needs in Ulster County are addressed, and the best way to do that is have base information to go from. And I'm not asking, I'm not going to suggest that we have a long drawn out assessment. I'm going to request that we find available data, which there's plenty of at this point, right? Engage the public, engage the municipalities, especially those where there are the dire need, and there are communities where it's far worse than others, right? And so we do have to address those issues. And this committee, through this at some point, probably will have a separate task force, as we discussed you know, earlier, that we will do that, right? But I just think it would be irresponsible of us to go off at this point without a basis to work from. We don't have a base. We don't have facts, right? We don't know what the real shortages are. We don't know if it's multifamily, single family, mobile homes, you know, for people of incomes under the poverty level or within 20% of the poverty level, or people in median incomes. We don't know that. And we have to know that. If we're going to make a plan going forward and have a committee that's going to make recommendations for a long term for the county. So for that reason, I'm going to make a motion. No, so we take no action or
postpone.
So I don't know what the postpone means. So exactly.
But you can postpone it to a specific date. So you could just say the next meeting.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right. So, I you know, again, there's going to be some activity with the executive's office as well, who wants to be part of this. He wants to be part of a housing study and work in conjunction with the local municipalities to really get a firm grasp on this and make a difference, not just, you know, a headline. We want to make a difference, not a headline. You know, that's the bottom line here, right? And so, you know, while I'm here, that's the kind of thing we're going to be doing, right? We're not going to just, we're going to be looking at stuff. Go ahead, Trace.
So I knew that you were reaching out to the executive, and the executive, for anyone who didn't hear, at the State of the County acknowledged that and acknowledged wanting to work with the legislature on this issue. And I think starting with a housing study, and by that, what I'm thinking is an inventory, you know, just an assessment, essentially, of what's out there, is critically important, and the timing of it, I think, is also critically important. And so where those two things intersect, and this is what I think we need to figure out within this time before the next resolution deadline, is whether or not, but probably more appropriately, how much money we need in order to make a study like this happen. Because I think where the time could get long is if we're just trying to do that with available resources, and I don't mean money resources, just like computer searches and available data, that's one thing, but actually spending the money on somebody to gather that data for us in a defined timeline is what I think is most critically important, and I do think it's a critical first step, because we've heard about, it's not just the issue that just came before us. It's as it relates to Airbnb, individual municipalities are tackling. We're talking about it at the county level. We've heard about it as it relates to projects that are potentially going to be coming before the IDA that include low-income housing components and or other rental components. So senior housing and or the lack thereof, workforce housing and or the lack thereof. So it crosses a lot, and I think, you know, it's different from community to community, but we're the county, so we're looking at a county perspective, and then how we can assist each of our communities and a countywide approach. So I commend you on reaching out to the executive and moving forward on this study, and I just want to say I want to support it, but I also want to make sure we get the money behind it and make it happen.
Yep.
It's gonna,
I agree.
I think it's going to require.
Mark will take care of that part of it. Mark and Dennis will make sure we get that. Right.
When will we be doing that? Because this resolution just called for a study, a master housing plan.
Right.
Right. I think that should come first.
Right.
The assess in terms of the inventory assessment, I think needs to come first. It would inform anything that anyone is doing.
Right. I think because the makeup of the committee should be, you know, reflective of where the shortages are and where the needs are. And if we have that information before us, then we can form the committee that you want to do here. We can form that committee based on the actual needs and involve stakeholders who have, you know, something to say and can add to the conversation. You know, and if we don't know who they are, then, you know, it's just risky, in my opinion. I think we should be really making sure that we're bringing the right people on board. And I agree with you, Tracy. We'll have that discussion, right, as far as cost. So let's do that. I'm sorry, go ahead, Larry.
If I might, you know, there's certainly no question it is a housing crisis. The mayor says it, the county executive has said it. There has to be a starting point somewhere. I found this book, 2007. In this committee, back then, it was economic development, housing, and planning, and nothing's been done. You have to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. To say we'll wait till next week or we'll do a study, there's more than enough studies out there that show there's a not only just Section 8 housing deficiency, senior housing, workfare housing. Mm-hmm. It's been put off many, many years, over and over again since 2007, and this sounds like the same thing. This is not easy stuff.
Right.
This is not easy stuff. But where do you start? You have to start with somebody, a committee, let's say appointed by the chairman of the legislature, to bring forth some recommendations. You're going to do that at this committee? I don't think so.
Right.
So I think it's a mistake to put it off.
Right. So we're not going to put it off for, we're going to put it off for 1 month, right? And we're going to get some information to back it up, right?
And I just ask, what's going to change from today?
Well, what's going to change from today? You know, I don't know that answer right today. I don't know because I haven't really spoken to the executive as far as going on plans. But if Mark wants to chime in, if he has some information.
If I could just say, I've seen the Alice study. I've seen all those different studies from 2 years ago, 4 years ago, 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. Saying the same thing, they haven't changed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So.
Well, that's good. That's good to know.
They're there. We don't need another study.
Right.
I do think getting an inventory is important, and you know, Dennis is working on getting proposals on a plan for a study on housing and housing and inventory. I don't know if you have anything to add.
If I may, and take some.
Go right ahead, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple of things I would say. One is that this legislature back in 2000, I have to go back 2007 to 2009, somewhere in there, adopted a study that was done, which was called Priority Strategies to Develop Housing in Ulster County. It's a portion of your comprehensive plan. It has legal weight. It has a set of strategies in it, including land banks, land trusts, zoning amendments, zoning changes at the local level in terms of doing zoning audits, and also a number of other strategies associated with it. And we've implemented some of those strategies. So when you look at the landscape of housing, I think the person in the audience made an excellent comment when she said that effectively it changes over time and it can change very relatively rapidly. If you look what happened back in the 80s when we first started looking at data, I mean we saw values in the county, housing values increasing about 100% over year to year, and sometimes in some of the communities. But a couple of things that I think that the legislature can do is, number one is that we certainly agree that the idea of looking at a housing needs assessment is something that should be done every 5 years. And the housing needs assessments are not basically inventories. They're more of essentially of what's happened to income versus what's happened to prices and where is the difference. And if anybody is familiar with Pattern for Progress work, they just put out a really wonderful study, and it was called Out of Alignment. There's county profiles in that. You'll see a lot of those needs assessments and a lot of those numbers within that study in terms of how out of alignment we are in terms of income versus costs in Ulster County. So that's the first thing. The second thing is when you look at this, this is an economic analysis as much as it is a physical analysis. Because understanding where housing costs are versus where incomes are creates a bit of a dichotomy in terms of the ability to wrestle that data to the ground as it relates to taxes and the ability to pay. What the original work that we did, we worked with three counties, a tri-county housing study, and it was funded by a nonprofit across the river. And Orange County participated, Dutchess County participated, and Ulster County participated. The needs are they're like the war you never win. This is the needs are so far outstripped the ability to supply things that we sort of gave up on trying to fix what the backlog is and said we should fix what's going forward. And what the best thing that I could say to you is if we fix what's going forward, we look at where housing unit production is versus where our needs are. somewhere between 10% and 20% of all new housing units need to be affordable. And we've defined affordable and worked to define affordable as 80% to 120% of AMI for home ownership and 80% to 30% of AMI for rentals. And we've been successful in looking at communities essentially putting that into their zoning statute, except when projects propose, and then they sort of ignore their zoning statute. But recognizing the fact that the county can do little relative to essentially providing for affordable housing except sort of cheerlead from the side. There is an exception to that. The county has a local law. It's a home rule legislation that basically deals with economic development, and it provides for the county ability to essentially do shovel-ready projects for water and sewer as it relates to industrial uses. We've come to this committee on a repeated basis and said to the committee, one of the things that you should think about doing is amending that statute so that it provides for, quote, community development. We've made this pitch going back to the Charter Committee in 2007 and 2008. The point being is with that in place, you can actively support housing proposals that are essentially need infrastructure investment in order to move forward. We would urge, planning department anyway, would urge the fact that you examine that local home rule statute, make that connection back to the state, and ask for that to be amended. It also, quite frankly, provides more opportunities for economic development funding than is currently provided in the existing statute, because defining economic development and what's happening in economic development right now in Ulster County is not industrial development. You're seeing more niche economies, niche manufacturing, and or the creative economy, which is problematic in terms of doing that funding. Combining that effort with redefining what a UTEP is, our Unified Tax Exemption Policy is with the IDA. Now, that's not directly controlled by the legislature, but you can comment on those UTEPs and starting to think about how that relates to affordable housing. So this is not an ongoing discussion with respect to how affordable housing is treated relative to a tax exemption policy. Not to get too far down in the weeds, but what I would say to you is that there is a existing real property tax program that provides for automatically for properties that are affordable to be assessed on the value of the value of the rents versus the value of the structures. Developers do not like that because simply you end up with a discussion on an annual basis with the assessor in terms of what your net income is or what your profit is versus what you think it is. So they usually ask for pilots. Providing those pilots in a coordinated manner removes that issue in terms of deviated pilots that you often see that take place. That's a discussion that could take place with the IDA. It's not a difficult discussion to have. The IDA has done pilots in the past for this. There's something in the original UTEP that talks about it, but having that discussion makes some sense. Last but not least, and to the point, and I apologize for not getting to the point right away. We're having discussions with Patterns for Progress with respect to their out-of-alignment report. We've seen some updates relative to what the 2018 American Community Survey provides for us in terms of what our housing costs are. We do a rental assessment on an annual basis at the Planning Board. That's available to the legislature as well in terms of where rents are versus where fair market rents are, what the vacancy rates are. And I know that the discussion that's taking place with respect to Patterns is a discussion that says, if you're in for X amount of dollars, Ulster County, and we can get Orange County in, and we can get Dutchess County in, and we can get the nonprofit in, then we're maybe an opportunity to redo that needs assessment study that was done in 2007, or I think it was done in 2007, which is a great time to start a housing needs assessment when just before it's a blessing and a curse. But the point being is that we could update that needs assessment in a regional fashion because housing works regionally. I will just say that the other thing I think that is important is to change the culture of discussion that takes place with respect to housing needs, both on the affordable basis, however you define it, and on the change basis in terms of actually building something. We've seen a culture shift in the discussion of sustainability and climate change. We haven't seen a culture shift with respect to trying to deal with the housing issue, and John, as past chair of the legislature, has addressed this, trying to see a culture shift with respect to having legitimate discussion about housing needs and building something. How much has things changed in Ulster County? Your demographics basically say for the next 20 years, you're going to lose population. Your demographics basically say, if we go back and look in the 80s and 90s, we were issuing somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,500 to 1,700 septic permits and building permits for new construction. You know what you issued last year countywide? 230.
I was
going to
say three.
All right. That's a sea change in terms of what's happening. Town of Lloyd has a townwide moratorium on new development. Other communities are doing that. When you look at the elected officials, one of the first things that, now this has changed in Kingston, but have a conversation with Kingston 2 years ago, and the conversation was, we don't need any more affordable housing, we have too much. Conversation in the village of Ellenville, we already have more rental housing and more affordable housing than we need. Having that discussion, and it goes back to involving the community and talking to the community, having that discussion in a manner that changes the culture and changes the discussion, where everyone wants to be a climate smart community, that everyone wants to be a housing smart community, and enrolling them in a housing smart program is something that should start at the local level, move to the county level, and eventually addressed at the state level. I said my piece. Thank you for your time.
Legislator Perry?
I appreciate what Dennis said, but the fact of the matter is, since 2005 and 2007, 15 years, nothing has been done. Those studies were probably here last year gathering dust, and they've been chucked. Mm-hmm. Now, the simple fact of the matter is, in the communities that I hang out in, because as Dennis mentioned, losing population, one third or more of the people that live in many of our communities, or all of them, are probably over 63. Now, if you live around the areas that I do and you have a home and you've reached a point in your life where you can't afford your house mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, you sell it and you make a good buck. You got money in your pocket. Where do you live? Oh, go to Kingston. I don't want to go to Kingston. Kingston's a great place. Well, go to Ellenville. They do a good job. I don't want to go to Ellenville. I like to stay in Boyceville, Phoenicia, Stone Ridge, Cripplebush. Mm-hmm. It's pretty simple. And we can discuss the gentrification of our communities and the people that are coming up that don't want that sort of stuff around. I get it. But the young people getting out of school have no houses to rent, no apartments to rent. I was coming back from the Adirondacks last week through Schoharie. It was a gorgeous little thing in the middle of nowhere. I don't know how many units it was, 5, 10, 30, 50. We got nothing. Except some communities have done it.
Right.
So, I'm afraid it was on this committee's agenda in 2006, mm-hmm. and things were put off and do a study. Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is, we don't need any more studies. We got to have a plan.
Right.
And that's what this resolution was attempting to do. And I commend, Laura, for at least getting the discussion going.
Right.
I can see what's going to happen. But we can bury our head. I mean, we brought it up 2 years ago, and it was about the what is RUPCO doing and what do they want to do in the continuum of care resolutions? Nonsense. Mm-hmm. Something's got to get done.
I agree.
Or it doesn't have to get done, and then.
So I think
it's the same old same.
So Legislator Perry,
thank you for your time.
No, thank you. I appreciate your comments. You know, and I think that we all agree that something has to get done, right? And I think that there may be a difference of opinion on where we start, okay? But I think we're all in agreement that there's a housing issue in Ulster County, and from as Dennis said, you know, we don't have
a lot of say in what gets done here, but we can do some things, right?
And we do.
Well, we have some, right? And so it's important that, you know, first of all, we know where we're starting. I think that that's really the key here, is that we know where we're starting. We know where the needs are. We have to know where the needs are. We have to know what the deficiencies are. And we have to, you know, really take that into account before we do anything. Because, John, if we form a committee that excludes one of the most needy sectors of the county for whatever reason, right, because we didn't know, then that's on us, right? So it's not, I'm not saying rip this up and throw it away. I'm saying let's just give the executive's office a little bit of time, you know, to do this. I'll say, I mean, 60 days, you know.
But the you are a legislature.
Right, we're the legislature.
It doesn't only come one way.
I understand that. But so the legislature doesn't have the money. The executive does. No, I'm just kidding. So all kidding aside, so it's obvious that the executive is a willing partner in this, and he's got his staff already looking at this, right? So to me, it's very important that we have, you know, something new here, some cooperation through the executive's office, right? That's my intent here, is to work with the executive, not against him, not in a parallel path, right? Not serially, but right with him, right? We're gonna be working with the executive to get this stuff done, because we need the executive's power. We need the executive staff. We need the executive's ability to do these studies and to gather the data before we go forward, right? I mean, we should take advantage of that. And we have that opportunity now. As I said, we have a willing partner, right? And I for one, you know, will say that, you know, basically say give him 60 days to put up or shut up kind of thing, right? Let's see where we're going with this. And if we don't hear anything back on this in 60 days, then we'll just go right ahead with our own committee, right? If we don't hear anything back, that's it.
We'll
right?
provide an update next month.
There you go. So then I'm just going to say that we postpone it for 1 month, and then we come back since we have a commitment. Well, go ahead, Laura. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I would just like to add, this is the Economic Development Committee. You can't bring in businesses, especially small businesses, because again, we're not going to get big industries in. We're not going to get another IBM. You can't invite businesses in if you don't have a workforce, because getting paid $12, $13, $14 an hour is not going to pay $1,500 a month for an apartment. We're still waiting for a study that I believe was started in April or May. For the appointed positions within the county. We were looking at the gender, we were looking at salary. We still haven't gotten that. Mm-hmm. So I'm very concerned when I hear that at some point the executive's office will come forward with a study.
Fair enough.
The other thing is we're different branches of government. Mm-hmm. So we do need to set the policy, mm-hmm. and the executive then comes in and they basically get, get all the operations together. So I don't know if we're waiting to hear from the executive's office to tell us what to do. I think we've kind of lost sight.
Well, I disagree with that.
What we're supposed to bring forward for
right.
our constituents.
Right, we are. And I agree. And as
I'm very concerned about the housing issue.
Right.
And again, you don't have economic development if you
right.
don't have the workforce and you don't have the housing
right.
for local workforce to live.
Right.
That's why something like 37% of our Mid-Hudson Valley residents work in New York City.
Right.
And I imagine that's where they spend a lot of their income, too.
So, as I said initially, right, I think we're all on the same page, and we all know there's a need to address housing in the county. And for that reason, I'm going to ask that we postpone this for 30 days. I was going to say 60, but for 30 days. And if the committee wants to make a motion that we do that, then
I'll make that motion.
Okay. And
a second.
Go ahead.
I would just ask for the time being if we could get the verbiage technically on the shovel ready that Dennis pointed out, and so we can look at that, because that's something, if that's in
that's,
our,
yep, I agree.
Our
yeah.
page, then
you
we can change, at least change that and update that. I would like to at least go
yeah,
over
so we'll have that,
that
next
you
committee.
Want that drafted for March?
Yeah, if we can
so
do that.
So
yeah, and
we
can get
it.
It
would be great to get it so we can
to look at it.
Yeah.
But
home
I mean, you'll see it. But I mean, we
home,
can draft
to
it.
To request the home
request.
Rule. Right,
yeah.
Because yeah. that's not going to happen overnight
yeah.
anyway, right?
Right.
So, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so all those in favor?
Yeah.
Opposed?
Yeah,
opposed. Okay.
Do you want the rental?
Yeah, I was just going to ask.
I was going to say we could certainly, if we do the rental housing survey, we can provide you that element of the comprehensive plan, which is a priority strategy to develop housing, which has 7 recommendations in it in terms of things to do. And we've implemented a lot of those recommendations quietly, but we've implemented.
And, and you have a sense of by district, by community, what the local appetite is for housing, or where potentially some of the issues are. So if you have anything that can inform us, that would be really helpful.
In general, what I would say is that most Ulster County communities are more willing to accept housing than other counties that we've seen, relative to their zoning as it relates to multifamily units, and relative to their discussion with respect to affordable housing. So the zoning statutes and the comprehensive plans are quite frankly housing friendly. The difficulty that you have is when you site a project, the neighborhood isn't. So the example I would give you is that neighborhood opposition is alive and well, and highly organized. That's the first thing. And also well-funded, which means they can sue. And the example I would give you is RUPCO's project in the city of Kingston relative to the Lace Mill, the Flatbush Avenue project, which took them X amount of years to deal with. And the same thing with respect to the project in Woodstock that took them almost 7 years or 8 years to get through the process. And you see that as that's an impediment to move forward unless you're well-funded, A, and extremely patient. So the regulatory certainty is one of the things that, you know, that happen, and generally those things happen not at a local level, but at a state level. Massachusetts basically provides, as does the state of New Jersey, provides housing protection for developers with regard to their ability to get through the zoning process. Massachusetts basically says the community has X amount of days to decide. If they can't decide that amount of days, the state will decide for them.
So Dennis, I'm asking you to wrap up because we have a couple questions. Okay, so go ahead, sir. You mind stating your name, please?
My name is Randall Everett. I'm chairman of the Ulster County IDA, and the IDA has been bounced around here.
Yeah.
I can tell you that one of the ways in which the IDA can work with respect to housing that doesn't get us running afoul of the law and the statute is we could do things like we've done in New Paltz with Woodland Pond, which is senior housing, because I speak to the fact that you mentioned seniors who do want to stay in the community after they sell their homes, but they don't have the necessary care and the ability to take it. So one of the things that we can do is work with you all to do affordable housing for senior care, but the caveat to that is because of the statute, the ultimate purpose of the agency is to create jobs, and one of the ways that we're able to do that with senior housing is because it has continuing care, it creates a huge number of jobs because those seniors need to have people looking after them, and it's not like they're invalids or anything, but it's, you know, there's restaurant, there's taking them to the store, there is doing the things for them. So there is a way for the IDA to participate in that process. If we don't run afoul of the law and stay within the bounds of the law and do housing with continuing care that also requires certain financing that has to be approved by the state. There is also a state certificate G that also has to be part of that process. So we can participate in that regard as it relates to housing in Ulster County. So, you know, I would welcome the opportunity to do that if it is done appropriately.
I'm sure your input will be welcome. So go ahead, Lisa.
Yeah, it kind of goes to the bigger issues that we've been talking about from an economic development perspective. We have so many changes. We have a new Department of Economic Development. We have a new deputy. We have the IDA. We have USEDA. We have this standing committee. You know, at the end of the day, we're all part and parcel of moving the county forward from an economic development, which includes housing, which includes transportation. It's the whole ball of wax. And I think there's a real opportunity to get everybody together and start to have those conversations about brainstorming what can we do from housing, what can we do from bringing business in, creating more jobs, how do we finance opportunities and initiatives, where are our community? And we have not had that kind of robust conversation, and I think it's time that we do get all of the players to the table to have that, because that's critical to moving Ulster County forward. And I think there is an appetite for it. There, you know, there's changes going on. Ulster 2040 is going to inform some of that. Some of the ag pieces can inform that. The housing. I think it is all interconnected, and it's time we all started working together and moving that agenda forward. So I think the time is now.
To quickly piggyback on that, and I go back to the senior housing with continuing care, we have finally begun to do our annual site visits, and one of the things that we picked up on when we visited Woodland Pond, and I think we have it in Golden Hill as well, one of the things that the person who runs Woodland Pond said to me, we have an enormous problem in finding registered and licensed nurses, and the program that was at BOCES doesn't exist. So it is a job creator, and these aren't low wage jobs.
Mm-hmm.
These are jobs with benefits. These are jobs that pay above, you know, minimum wage.
They can afford that $1,400
yeah.
a month
yeah.
that Laura talks
yeah.
about,
so,
right?
You know,
this is an opportunity.
Yeah,
right.
The IDA can assist with senior housing as long as it has that continuing care,
okay.
because we get dinged if we don't create the adequate number of jobs for the size and scope of a project. And you know, it's just a fact. It's not a function of, you know, not wanting to do it. It's just not wanting to get yelled at for doing something.
Well, it's having boundaries with your.
So I'm gonna then we're gonna move on this to the next topic after this last comment here. Okay.
Can she also speak really quickly first?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, so sure. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Rachel Gams. I would just say that, you know, several people have mentioned that waiting for a study is, you know, for many reasons that are all been stated, is not going to result in what you're looking for, right? Because of the constant changing dynamics and demographics, right? But you've gone back and said several times that you would like to get the studies from the executive, and while studies are important, it has to be in. You know, I mean, I come from software technology development, agile, you know, we talk about agile methodology that you can rapidly change and adjust and adapt your end, your products so that it is actually meeting the needs of what the consumer, you know, in my case, but it's a similar type thing. You can't do a study that lasts a year and then take action, mm-hmm. because then that action is not going to be reflective of the current state of mm-hmm. the situation. So you have to develop some sort of way in our community to be able to look at, you know, take snapshots of what we have, what, you know,
live data.
Right, but know that we're never going to have all the data.
Right.
We're not going to be able to, you know, do those full assessments that, you know, in our minds.
So we need MVPs, right?
We have to use,
right?
the people's, you know, what is it called? The, you know, anecdotal evidence, right? Because anecdotal evidence is real evidence. Statistics can lie more than anecdotal mm-hmm. evidence
right.
at times. And when, you know, the idea of having somebody, you know, on site in an office is because you see what's happening when you're there, and like you said, you live across from the building that, like, I my brother lives there, you know, like, you know, you see what's in front of you. You don't necessarily know what's going on in another state, in mm-hmm. another city.
Right. So just to ease your mind, so the executive is a software guy, and I work at IBM, and I practice Agile every day. So I know what you're talking about,
right.
and I agree with you, and so, like I said, I'm just going to say, you know, this is our first committee meeting,
yep.
so I'm just going to ask the players that have been around for a while, give us an opportunity, you know, give us an opportunity to prove ourselves, give us an opportunity to keep our word, all right, and, you know, we will go forward with this, I'm telling you, I'm not just talking here, we're going to do that, okay.
So I definitely very much appreciate what you were saying. I'm sorry, I'm forgetting your name.
Yes, thank you. About everybody coming to the table and also with Randall and you know, all the different players, because that is important. And I do just also piggyback on what Rachel was saying. I do want to really make sure that the actual impacted community's voice is loud and present. Can I just take a, do a quick straw poll of how many people here are renters, like residential renters? There's two of us. And so there's this thing that happens from the UN to you know, the village of New Paltz,
right,
that when there's people in a room who have the best of intentions are trying to make decisions without the active presence of the impacted communities, so the wrong things happen. And
so I think I've mentioned several times that
when we determine where
the needs are, they should be involved in any committee that this legislature sets up. And guess what? They're going to be.
Yes,
they're going to be.
But I just want to urge that from step one, meaning like right now, like me, starting with me, because I'm a tenant here, that the community is engaged, not like, oh, let's do a study to see who the impacted community are. Because, like, let's be honest, we do know who they are. They're everybody who's a tenant, whether they're senior citizens, whether they are recent graduates, or even me, not so recent graduate. And like you're saying, the anecdotal evidence. So I make $20,000 a year. I got picked in the lottery for Energy Square, the new Repco development, and they told me that my rent would be $737 a month, which I, on my $20,000, can't afford. So where do you go when you can't afford affordable housing? So this is the thing. So it's also families, especially like, you know, families, single parent households, of which I'm a product of. We know who the players are. We know the voices that need to be heard. We don't need statistics for that, although obviously we need statistics in general. But we need to have those voices heard. We need to have a citizen involvement, whether it's a committee of citizens that are involved in every step of the
right.
way.
So we have been committed to do that, and we will.
Right.
And I'm just going to ask to wrap that up, because I do. We have a lot of other things that we want to get through tonight.
One caveat with consolidation for Village of New Paltz. There was a study that was we got $50,000 grant to do a study, and the community engagement part of that was a complete failure, and as a result, our $50,000 study accomplished nothing. And that's happened several times, like every, like, I don't know, like 10 or so years, right, the consolidation thing comes up, and then people try to, like, roll it through, and they don't involve the community voices, and then it fails, because if you don't engage with the community from the very beginning, you end up, like, you know, every little small mistake takes you, you know, here. It's a snowball effect instead of going there, which is where you're trying to go.
Thank you. Okay, so we're going to move on now to, and I just want to take a moment and thank everyone for that conversation. It was very informative, and it's going to really help us going forward. It was a needed discussion, and one that, you know, I won't forget. And when the time comes and when we're forming this committee, you know, the players who need to be involved will be involved. It's that simple. Okay, thank you. Okay, so we have resolution number 10 here, which is reaffirming that the Ulster County IDA requires prevailing wage and local labor provisions as a requirement for securing IDA assistance.
I'll move for discussion.
Okay. You have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to understand why this is being brought in front of us.
So that was going to, since we have the chair of the IDA here, I think I'm going to ask that question. Is the prevailing wage still in effect for IDA projects?
Well, I can tell you that my understanding, and I may look as if I've been around since your school, it is my understanding that the agency had a prevailing wage provision that had been suspended.
For 1 year.
Really suspended for
it was
a year.
Suspended for 1 year when I was here. Yeah,
right.
Last.
I know that some of my members have discussed it with me. We haven't had a full board discussion about it. We have a provision under the matrix that allows applicants to earn points if they choose to use labor and pay prevailing wage, but that is not. They don't have to check that box. They can accumulate points to be eligible for our projects without checking that box. For example, you could get 1 point for just using construction labor from the six surrounding counties. But that doesn't mean that they have to be paid prevailing wage. So we don't have an edict with respect to it, but we do try to encourage it. And what we've done is we're planning to split that, because it used to be you could get 3 points for paying prevailing wage, or you could also get 3 points for using labor from the six surrounding counties. And we decided that it would be more points should be earned if you were going to pay somebody prevailing wage. Mm-hmm. So that's how we handled it. So there's no edict.
Go ahead.
So your new UTEP has a component. I mean, I know you're also doing you're hiring a firm to go out and double check that if they check the box saying they're using local union, you go out and make sure that that is the case.
Correct.
Okay. But do you have a component now for in UTEP that says if you pay prevailing wage, you get 3 points?
That's in the matrix. That's one of the ways that a construction firm could earn points.
Right.
To move them to the, you know, there's a range of points that you can earn that
for different years for the pilot. Right.
The pilot.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have to check that box.
Right.
They could simply configure the points without including any labor. So what we've tried to do with this revision is we've moved things away from those soft things that.
So you're trying to encourage prevailing wage with higher points.
Correct. Prevailing wage, but we're also putting a little more emphasis on better paying jobs.
Right.
Because that was, you know, nobody ever checked paying people a decent wage. So we've tried to move it away from it being an easy get from the IDA to these are the things that are going to get you the most points.
And it's about hiring local. It's about bringing jobs to the community. So it's all the things that are important for the existence of the IDA.
Correct. And as State Comptroller Napoli says, we're looking to make sure that the IDA is providing the taxpayer value for their money. So
Randall, I'm not sure I understand the resolution. Are we...
It's not my resolution.
It's Legislator Pettit.
Okay.
It's not my resolution.
Okay.
I will tell you that there is interest. Members of our board have talked to me about the issue. And I intend to have a discussion with my board about it. Actually, I just put this on the agenda for our meeting next week. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the authors of the bill are welcome to come. Anybody is welcome to come. But I know that the board members have raised the issue, wondering where it is and whether it's something we should be doing. And I think they deserve to have the ability to have that conversation. So I'm going to let them do that.
So, Legislator Bartow.
So, I mean, I think it's important that the board have that conversation. And I think, weighing all these things against the end goal of long-term...
I don't know what Resolution 244 of 2005
is. Which is what we're attempting to do through the organization is what's important. But
we're okay.
In terms of the resolution itself, I'm not sure that we can...
I can't hear what he's saying.
That we have the authority to direct the board through a resolution to do something. And I certainly feel least comfortable with the last resolve that says that the board shall, because we'd be passing a resolution telling an independent board what they shall do. I just think it's probably not legally permissible. I mean, I know that we don't have authority to tell this board what to do. We certainly can weigh in. We can come to your meetings. We actually, our real authority is in choosing you all. That's where we have the most influence, but I don't think we can pass a resolution saying that you shall do this or you... Yeah. We're directing him to this.
So one of the things that I think we should investigate, right, is that if this resolution... Okay, so one of the things I think we should investigate through our council, right, is if this resolution was passed in 2005, was there another resolution that took it away? And if not, then why isn't the IDA following our recommendation? Or, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, for that reason, I'd like to have the legislative.
Resolution 244.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Lynn.
I did a little research on this today, and had some conversations. And my understanding is the suspension was due to the fact that there was a perception that because we were asking for prevailing wage, we were inhibiting the ability of attracting businesses here.
I was here. I remember it.
But I don't know that it ever got proven. I don't know where it, I mean, my research only went so far. Right. So I do think it's an opportunity, but I go back to what I said earlier, which is these are the kinds of things that should be part of the broader discussion, not to say you must do this, you must do that, but to start to have the conversation around where are we headed, what are we trying to attract, what businesses best suit our communities, and what would be embraced, how do we then incentivize those. Those are the conversations we're not having, and quite frankly, we all need to get in the same boat and row in the same direction with the different roles we have, and this is a prime example of something that has to be part of that conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, prevailing wage, what's the impact? We do it at the county level, municipalities do that. What's the impact of that to some of the projects that get brought before us that, you know, we're trying to entice? So I think it's all meaningful and important, and this is an important initiative, but I think it has to be part of a broader conversation to weigh what's the value of it, what would it impact, is it positive, it's negative. I mean, even the section here, which I know the governor is looking at proposing for the 2021 budget, is receiving public monies to use prevailing wage standard for state projects in some but not all instances. So there's all these little caveats. If we're going to put in a prevailing wage, do we have exemptions from that?
Sure.
What are they? What should they be? But that's part of the broader conversation of economic development.
Where are we going
in lockstep?
Well,
would you not agree?
The other thing, and I think about it as well, is that I think to some degree, while some may say that it stifles development of business, I think one of the flip side to that argument is that it would potentially provide the opportunity to create larger businesses to create the bigger jobs and the large number of jobs that we need. Because if we keep limiting ourselves to these smaller things, we're going to end up continuing to get low-wage jobs. Mm-hmm. And there's no point in having an IDA continuing to induce low-wage jobs.
Yep. So Kathy, and then Mark, and then Mr. Hamm.
I was going to... Tracy raised the question about whether we could do this resolution. I agree. I don't think, you know, the IDA has to be separate. But I wonder if there's another underlying question is, does the IDA have the ability to require prevailing wage and not just have it in the
So
I think we need to answer that question as well.
Right. So go ahead, Mark.
I mean, I do want to point out that this is using public funds, and one of the, we just got done having almost an hour-long conversation about housing and workforce housing, and we're talking about requiring, that was a different question on whether you all can require it, but you're talking about requiring prevailing wage, so it's not an extravagant wage, it's a wage that, quite frankly, you're building a local workforce, and so these projects are getting county funds. We require prevailing wage on all of our county projects, mm-hmm. and the governor is going to be requiring it for everything in the state. I think it's a good step, if it's doable.
Mr. Hamm?
I think what we're looking at here also is, in there it says reaffirming, okay? The word reaffirm. Now, I know, I was there, Brian also, Michael Berardi, we were all in that room that day, and when it got suspended, it was an experiment to suspend it for 1 year. Now, without casting any shade on anything else, that, you know, hey, things happen. We make mistakes. Everybody's human. But there's other things that have come to light also that we forgot about, that were actually out there. And, you know, we're only human. But you want to know something? The bottom line is, this is something that's already there. Okay? And it's an easy lift here. All we have to do is look and say, did anybody put a resolution out there suspending it forever?
That's right.
Okay? And it's not. It's there. It's just that we haven't abided by it for 15 years. And as far as it being able, if let's put it this way. We'll go back to the 45-minute study conversation we just had. Okay? I got a study for you. It's been suspended for 15 years. Someone here in this room tell me the great boom in the economy that happened here with infrastructure or anything else in 15 years that prevailing wage derailed a developer from building here. Somebody, anybody, I don't care who gives it this. See, I happen to wake up every day and, you know, and I live and breathe protecting prevailing wage in Davis Bacon. That's what I do every day. And you want to know something? This is something I've known about. We haven't brought it up. This pretty much fell on our lap. The governor, we all know what's going on up in Albany, you know, with public works being thrown back and forth. We're all familiar with that. And, you know, it's Mark has hit it right on the head. This is a great step because we already have it. It doesn't deter any projects. It's right. Not doing anything.
Right. So on that point, so, you know, you stated it's reaffirming regulation that is part of the IDA, which is a separate entity and makes its own rules, right? We can recommend things to you, but we can't make you do this, right? We can only say that, you know, you should do this, right? I mean, we can't force the IDA to do this, right? I mean,
they could do it on their own.
You I mean, can't they force could just the idea decide what the IDA today is. I think what's saying in this rules. Resolution is, what say you as the legislative body? Yeah. Does this still exist?
Right. So for that,
you have to tell us if it exists.
Oh, you want my answer tomorrow morning?
Yes,
yeah,
answer.
It exists.
I agree.
There you go. I can do it right now.
I'll reiterate what I said earlier. I'd like the legislative council to look at this and tell us, you know, why it has been ignored.
And I got this thing like everybody else got this thing. We're reading it. You know what? And we discussed it in full length today at the building trades meeting with 30 other trades. Dean represents Local 17, the laborers union, and you know, this is something that came out. We discussed it also, and I said, you know, we have to go to a meeting tonight to see, you know, where we're at.
Yep. Okay. So,
Dean Tamboy, laborers Local 17. Again, the prevailing wage, and thank you, Mark, for saying that. Is people were making they have health benefits. They have. They can pay their bills. They don't need to low house. They can afford housing in this area. So, and again, the way he's said it was perfect, that, you know, we're creating low-wage jobs, and now we need to have lower housing. Now we need to, you know, when is it, when we say enough, you know, and we can do that. And again, it is taxpayer money.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So.
Striking results 1 and 3, I don't know if that.
Well.
Those seem to be the ones that are concerning, but it's unsure whether this body can really direct the IDA.
Yeah.
Well, and the fact that we're just saying we're supporting.
Yeah. Right, but so if you just left in the resolve that said the Ulster County Legislature continues its support of Resolution 244 of 2005, you leave in all the whereases, but you're not directing the IDA to do anything.
I mean, it may be accurate what happened.
It could be changed
because
they
passed.
Encourage. Yeah,
because
they're currently
all right, well,
not
please,
doing
so,
it.
Laura, go ahead.
So we could, I'm sure legislative parity would be fine with that. Under the first resolved that we encourage. Okay, and then we'll strike the third resolved.
Wait a minute. Would Ulster County Legislature, instead of directs, you're encouraging?
Instead, yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Do you
where
mean
you?
Where? Yeah,
on
say
the
that.
First resolve.
Yeah, but so you see.
I thought we said we were taking that out.
Yeah,
well,
I thought
she's saying encourages.
So
directs.
So
and directs.
Yeah, but then it says mandating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, well, we're encouraging them.
Them
mandating.
To direct the measures mandating.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean we can't make them do it.
I mean, I just looked at a previous resolution, and the previous resolution we directed and we. You know, we use this kind of language, but I just don't think we were allowed to.
No.
You're
hey, you got to remember back then, we were really filling our oats back then. Man. We were doing
it.
Oh,
it was a new organization.
We were crazy. We were doing everything. We're passing 40 resolutions a night back then.
You all have the total authority.
Right, on your own. Right.
Well, yeah. But you don't understand something. You don't understand. People fall back. I get it. We're a separate entity. Okay, we're separate from the legislators. But the problem is, it always okay. I'll just say, I asked our attorneys for the IDA. Oh man, I'll tell you what, I've never seen a man run to his car so quick without answering me. So, you know what, that's a red flag for me, right? You know, we just want a little bit of, we want to be reaffirmed.
Mm-hmm. So,
okay? the other thing too is, and I think I've had the conversation with you, is we are a separate entity, but we also don't want
number
to
three. I'm gonna take three right
start
out.
Assuming the role of making policy.
Correct.
In our role as appointed people whose job it is to do something totally different than what this, you know, I mean, it's not our role.
Why nothing ever gets
right.
Actually, I tell you what, I get stuff done every single day. It's a very easy lift for me. So if you would like, you can throw something out there and I can make the call. And I'm good with that. No problem.
Yeah, right. So,
So let's go back to the resolution.
Right, that's where I want to go to. So then I'll entertain a motion to adjust the first resolve to take directs out and encourages and strike the third resolved from the resolution. Okay?
Good. I would like to get something passed tonight.
Okay?
She has to say yes, it's her resolution.
No, I'm okay. Thank you, Mark.
And if it makes you feel better, even though the third resolve is taken out, it is one of the things that under our enforcement policy
you have to do.
We collect.
Right.
Anyway, so
here, take this. Make it. My 12-year-old pen is at work.
I'll make that motion then.
Okay, so go ahead. All right. So go ahead. Okay, so I'll entertain that motion.
Yeah, I'll make the motion to change this to
encourage.
Yeah, encourage and strike the third resolve.
Okay, second. And to all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passed. We'll bring this to the legislature next meeting.
And I'm sorry, who amended it? DeLon
Jim
and
then seconded
okay.
by
and
that
so
was
they,
the amendments.
And this
now
is,
we have to do the resolution, right?
Right. DeLon
the
and Mayo.
The resolution as amended.
As amended, right.
And now as amended it passed four.
Well, we're gonna take that vote right now. So I'll entertain a motion for that.
I'll make the motion.
Second by legislator DeLon and all right, so all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, there you go. So we got to sign this.
Yep, you have to sign it. Adopted, amended.
Okay, so let's move on to number 19. So this one is confirming the appointment of Lisa M. Berger as Director of Economic Development.
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, there you go. Number 29.
I'm sorry, who moved it? So you did that very quickly. I was
yes,
writing the
did.
Last one.
I did.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
And I second.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay, so number 29 is authorizing the chair of the legislature to apply for a grant funding to the New York State Department of Ags and Markets to develop an agricultural and farmland protection plan for Ulster County Department of Planning.
I'd like to move that.
All right.
And thank Dennis for working on this.
Okay. Is there any discussion? Mm-mm. Okay. I'll take a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, great. And resolution number 30, which is authorizing the chair to request that the New York State Department of Transportation release jurisdiction to an unused highway lands along Route 9W in the town of Ulster and at the adjoining 1905 Ulster Avenue Department of Planning.
I'll move it for discussion.
Yeah, so I spoke to the supervisor, called me from vacation to let me know what it is. So there's a parcel of land, if you're familiar with the town of Ulster out by Angela's Pizza, in between the hotel and the pizza, there's a lone white house that stands there. And in between the white house and the highway, there's a veterans memorial that sits there.
And that was that is in between what was the state-owned old Route 9W. And so now nobody can do anything with it. There's a couple of people interested in purchasing the property. And so what they're asking, we have to make this motion so the state can then revert it back so it can be sold. You know, it's an unused piece of property. Nobody uses it. And they do want to make some productive use of it. There's
and so is it being sold to someone?
Yeah.
Is
yeah. It well, actually, there's...
Is it reverting back to someone who owned it prior?
They
or?
Would... They
no.
Would, they would relinquish the
ownership.
The ownership, and I'll let Dennis
the state.
On it.
So, but
the
state.
Just, let me just understand the process. So first of all, the county acquired lands for state right-of-ways back in the 70s, 30s.
Yeah.
All the way back. As part of that, the county has the underlying ownership. The state owns the highway itself. So what's happened out here is effectively the adjoining owner has decided that it would that they would like a piece of the property that is no longer necessary for state purposes. They reached out to DOT. DOT says, we don't need this except for these pieces, right? So they then reached out to us and said, will you request the release of the maintenance and jurisdiction from NYSDOT so that the ownership reverts back to Ulster County? That's what's going to happen here. Once that happens, right, the county will then, DOT will then have a prepare a takings map to revert that land back to us. We'll end up owning the land. The county has the ability under highway law for the commissioner to abandon that land to an abutting property owner. The way we anticipate that this is going to be done is we'll appraise it and then abandon it to the adjoining property owner based on the appraised value. The adjoining property owner here is Romeo Ford. They're going to use it for a car dealership. They have a site plan associated with it, etc. The resolution also provides for the adjoining property to make a similar request. At this point in time, we do not know whether they're going to make that request. They've just started the process. But if they do, the chair will be authorized to essentially go through that same process.
So they'll pay for the appraisal?
Yeah, they pay for everything. They pay for everything, yes.
There is, within the right-of-way out there, an easement for a veterans memorial that exists. The conversation with the veterans community associated with this has been that Romeo is actually, A, they can continue to keep their memorial regardless of this change. B, is Romeo is actually offered to relocate that memorial to a much more appropriate spot because this is right adjoining the highway. So that's under discussion with the veterans community. We will make sure under the site plan review processes that the county has and in discussion with the town, we'll make sure that whatever goes in there, that the memorial is protected in terms of landscaping, access, et cetera.
And they actually also offered to use their facilities for parking.
For parking.
For any event that takes place at the memorial.
So we've been having an ongoing discussion with both Romeo and the veterans community, as well as the supervisor with respect to this.
Right. So, motion to move it?
It's been moved and seconded. So
sorry.
So you can just vote on it.
Okay. Well, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, this is the last one, folks. This is the approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered to by the county, Space Saver Systems Incorporated, doing business as InfoLink System Solutions for Information Services, and I think that's cloud storage. Is that what that is?
It's the physical records tracking system that we have for the clerk.
The physical records tracking system.
So...
Oh, they like they assign
all records.
All records. Yeah. Okay.
You want to check out a box or whatever.
I see. Okay. I'll entertain a motion.
Move it.
Second.
Any discussion?
Question?
Yeah.
You know, this is again this is a unique system. This is so there's no other providers of this particular service out there. This is what renewal is this?
This is amendment number
two.
Oh, no. Yes, amendment number two.
Okay.
I won't say that they're the only ones that can provide this, but they're the ones that are currently providing the software, and this is only extending that contract. Okay. If we were to go back out to RFP, it would basically, we'd be installing a brand new system, which typically is much more expensive than amending.
Maintaining that.
Any other discussion? Okay, all in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay. Is there any old business that we need to discuss tonight? Okay, so I have one item of new business that I'd like to discuss, and it's an ongoing problem that the county isn't actually responsible for, but they create the problem. There's a town, a street in the town of Ulster called Otis Street. It's a dead-end street, and it abuts the development court. And Apple's driving directions send cars down Otis Street, and they end up in a gentleman's yard. He lives at the end. His house faces the street out. So
if you put development court in your Apple phone for directions, it changes it to 3 Otis Street and
right,
takes you there.
Right, and it's not on Otis Street. It's on development court, which
no,
is
Google
off of...
Maps, just Apple Maps.
We've corrected it on Google. We've corrected it on MapQuest. We've corrected it on Waze. We've corrected it on Garmin.
Right.
I was told this came off of Google Maps, which clearly it does not. And there's a way to report errors on that map, and we have reported it. I've reported it at least 20 times.
Yeah.
The owner out there has reported
it.
But it's a good thing Tommy Englehart don't still live down.
That's
the
correct.
Yeah, they'd have a problem.
That's right.
They're driving over people's mailboxes, over kids' toys. You know, when they turn around to come back up the street, they're mad.
Yeah.
And they like charge up the street.
I mean, it's a residential neighborhood, and there's about 5 houses.
And
it's signed dead end, right?
There's 2 signs at the end that call it dead end. They come in anyway.
No, I mean, we are. So Brian contacted me over the weekend.
And I spoke to you about it too.
And Tracy had spoken to me about it. Tom Jackson's going to work with either, we're going to do it, or Frank Petromal. Because it's a town street.
Town road, right? Yeah.
So we can't just put it on there, but we're either going to manufacture the signs and turn them over to them, or see if they want to manufacture them, but basically saying no access to family court.
No through traffic.
We'll put up the appropriate signs, and I know Alan is attempting to work with Apple.
Yeah,
I mean, so I through Fawn, reached out to this gentleman, wrote him a letter, spoke to Mark about it as well. I mean, one thing, the signs are great, but they may create a whole new problem. You know, they may, people will pull up to where they think they have to turn because they're dealing with their GPS, and they'll just be stopped before turning, and all of a sudden thinking, okay, what do I have to do? I mean, I don't know how we get to the bottom. It has to be dealt with Apple. Like that's
there's no question.
Not, and the county's not creating the problem. Apple's creating the problem.
Well,
and actually now, it designates some of the houses on that street as the family court and the social services.
Right.
But that's the county's not doing it. I'm not saying we shouldn't.
There's something wrong
with a PIN number, which is what they use when they're doing these maps.
Right.
It has to be.
We have to get to the bottom.
So now,
Alan is
IS?
Yes, he's our director. Okay. Alan Macaluso is our director of IS.
Yeah.
And he is on top of it. I'll report back as soon as I get information
from Brian
in this committee. Yeah. But, I mean, one thing we can do is if you were to just continue on instead of turning on Otis, you would be at the back entrance of DSS. So instead of just saying no through access or whatever, we can say continue on to access.
Take the next. Right.
Right.
So that's, something that I would like to see addressed at some point here. People are, the guy called me and he said, they tear up my lawn, they're running over my trash can. It's like, and it happens every single day, every day.
Several times. When I was there, it was happening.
Yeah.
When I went down there.
In addition to the things that have been proposed, I would suggest sending a letter from the executive and from the chair of the legislature to Apple. Saying that we would hate to have to go to local media with this story about how Apple Maps is dysfunctional.
That might be a good solution.
This would be a good media story. And
they've certainly done it before with Waze.
No, we fixed it on Google.
Google fixed it.
So every Spawn named 6 other map companies.
Yeah,
they fixed it, but one hasn't. I think they should know that.
And it's not like we haven't reported. They have a way to report errors on there.
Tell them in your letters.
And we've told them, I've described it every way I could think of.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're going to be in touch, Mark. Can you get back with us? And I'll obviously be in touch with you between now and then. And, okay. So I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
You got it.
On favor. And thank you very much, everybody.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry. Who moved to adjourn?
I did.
Oh, good. Okay.
And I